morning and happy Sabbath. It's good to be back here today. I'm a little disoriented right now. It's graduation weekend, so things are hectic here. And so we're seeing my precious seniors graduate. This year's seniors are a very, very special group for me. Before I begin, this is kind of weird announcing this. I'm going to be vulnerable to jokes, but I have to do it for my friend. I have a pastor friend in Redlands, California. He serves at the Thai church. His name is Emmanuel Beck. He wants to invite all the singles to an event called It Only Takes One. It's a so-called speed dating event. It'll be on June 22nd at the Thai church. Is John here?
No.
Vong, I think you're out of the market, so I don't think this applies to you. Or, I don't know, maybe things change. I don't know. Okay, I'll do the announcement again. So, hey, it applies to me too. He's trying to get me to go. And so I have a friend, Emmanuel Beck, Pastor Emmanuel Beck. He's currently serving at the Thai Seventh Adventist Church at Redlands, California. And he wants to assemble a group of godly, ministry-minded men to attend a singles event. It's called It Only Takes One. It's a speed dating event. It is at Thai Seventh Adventist Church at New Jersey Street. It's at June 22nd. Starts at 5 p.m. There is a $20 registration fee, and according to them, they will guarantee you to be in a date with a lovely girl. So that's I don't trust it personally, but no expectation leads to no disappointment. That's my saying. But he's trying for me to go. John, if you go, I go. Okay. All right, then we'll go and suffer together. So, and Vong, if, you know, depending on your situation.
I'll be your wingman.
Oh. All righty. So, I'm doing this as an announcement, as a favor of my friend. He's Korean. He's a, what do you call, young? He's like a big brother. So, whatever he tells you to do, you do it out of respect. It's part of the culture. So, that's just my cultural Korean duty. So, yeah, so that's my announcement. So today's message is titled Cheap Enough. Cheap Enough, titled Cheap Enough. I was asked to do something on graduation because we're in that season. And so today's message is titled Cheap Enough. And before I begin, let's have a word of prayer and ask for God's presence at this time. Let's pray. Holy Father, our Father God in heaven, Father, we thank you for life and breath. A heart that beats, and an air full of lungs. And so, Father, today we thank you, Lord, for leading us this far in our lives, that we can make choices for you. And so, Father, today, in spite of myself, may I be a blessing, not a curse to your people. May you fill me with your Holy Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So yesterday was a consecration service at my school for the class of 2019. And I was voted to be their commencement speaker, which I will be doing tomorrow. So I ask for your prayers. My mission is not to break down to cry because this class is very special to me. I'm very connected to this class. The next year's class, the class of 2020, has major issues and I'm not looking forward to them. Especially a group of people that very much tests my character and reveals my need for Jesus even more. But it's time for graduation. Graduation season. But before the graduation, before the ceremony, before the adulations, before the graduation party, there is one hurdle that you must encounter before graduation, and that is the final exam. There is a final exam before graduation. Likewise, there's a final exam given to the people on earth before a heavenly graduation. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 21. The Bible says this, and there shall be great tribulation or a great test, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We kind of fear this final exam. We think of this final exam as one of suffering and pain and deprivation. And even in an academic final exam, who looks forward to a final exam at school? No one does. It's tough stuff. It deals with all-nighters, the sacrifice of time, energy, health. It's very difficult. And so when we think about the last crisis and the final exam in Earth's history, we think of a very difficult time, and we think of it as very, very difficult. But notice, in this final exam, we get help. You see, in academic final exam, you're on your own. But in this final exam, you get help. Notice what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12. I don't have the verse on the screen. It just came to my mind. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. We are fearful of the final exam, but notice what happens in this final exam in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says this. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. In other words, Jesus will help us in that final exam, and we can all pass. But in order for us to pass, we must choose him every day to be our Lord, to be our King. We must choose every day to reach, to grab the hand that he extends to us, because when we hold his hand, he has control. But we must choose to reach our hand to the hand outstretched to us and grab a hold of his hand. In order for him to have control, he gives us a choice. And so, how do those in this last crisis pass the final exam? Notice the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says this. And I said unto you, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation or great test. In other words, this is the final test. But how do they pass the final exam? And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So in other words, they passed the final exam because they were made white by the blood of the Lamb. You see, when we make mistakes, we like to erase things, right? Scantrons, erase. And I had a kid that used pen for Scantron. How can you use pen for Scantron? You know, Scantron, you have to have pencil. He got it zero. I'm not like, how can you use pen? But then Jesus, his red blood, could blot out every single mistake we make in our lives and make us 100%. We could be F minus spiritually, but when we grab hold of Jesus and accept his sacrifice, we become 100%. A plus. From 0.0 to 4.0 by calling on the name of Jesus, because Jesus lived a 4.0 life in our behalf. And so what does the blood of the Lamb do? Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In other words, Jesus washes us of every mistake, every scandal, every secret sin with his own blood. And what happens when Jesus erases all the bad answers we make in the course of our lives? Notice the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, one of my favorite verses. The Bible says this, but God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, let's stop here, and while we were yet sinners, present tense, it means while we were yet F minus spiritually, God commanded his love towards us that Christ died for us. Much more than now being justified by his blood. Justified means that you are forgiven, you are pardoned, You know, we're at a time right now where seniors will like say, Mr. Chung, can I get some extra credit to bump up my grade? And you see, when you come to Jesus, Jesus gives you his credit, and as though that you've never made a mistake when you come to him. We shall be saved from wrath through him. And those are those that pass the final exam. You see, in order for us to be ready for heaven, you know, one of the most sad things people say, I'm not ready for Jesus to come. That's one of the saddest things I hear. And it's our fault as preachers, because as preachers we say, you have to be ready for Jesus to come. Get ready, get ready, get ready. And we don't tell them how to get ready. You know the simple way to get ready for Jesus to come? When you accept Jesus and what he did for you at the cross, and you accept his forgiveness, and you confess your sins, and you feel genuine sorrow for your sin, and you ask for forgiveness, at that moment you're ready for Jesus to come. When you believe that Jesus forgives and forgets your sins, and you accept that sacrifice, and you accept Jesus, that he is your sin bearer, that he offers forgiveness, that in that moment, you're ready for Jesus to come. And we oftentimes say, I have to do this, I have to do that. No, 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 no. The thing is, when you accept Jesus at that moment, you're ready. Amen. And we make it too complicated. I have to do this, I have to do that. Oh, batten down the hatches. No. But you see, when we get a glimpse of how much Jesus loves us, when we get a glimpse that Jesus suffered the consequences of failure, he did not fail, but he suffered the consequences of our failure so that we can pass the final exam, that love awakeneth love. And so when we truly accept the forgiveness of Jesus, our lives start to change, and there's a response to that forgiveness. Notice what the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says this: was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Now, Abraham, was he perfect? Yes or no? Did he make some big mistakes?
Yes.
He married Hagar, and it resulted in a son, Ishmael, and things didn't turn out the way that God designed it to be. And so Abraham demonstrated his lack of faith in God, because biologically it was hopeless. Sarah was in her 90s. How can a 90-year-old woman bear a child? But God's word said it will, and in the midst of hopelessness, God's word will fulfill, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in your present condition, you're the biggest sinner. Guess what? God says he will save you. Believe it, and he will save you. It doesn't matter what it is in your present condition. What matters is what God says will happen. And when we believe it will happen, it will happen. But Abraham, in his weakness, went and married Hagar, and he doubted God. And there were consequences. The home was divided. But then Abraham, according to Romans chapter 4, was justified by God. In other words, he was forgiven. And Abraham demonstrated that he accept God's forgiveness when God revealed a test to him. You see, God said something to Abraham to prove how much Abraham has come back to God and has faith. Because faith is believing God at his word. Can you imagine? Isaac, the miracle child, is born. The promise is fulfilled. Then God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, you need to take your only son that I have given you, that promised child, and you must sacrifice him in an altar. Imagine the confusion. Imagine the pain. Imagine the uncertainty. Imagine, God, you gave me this promised child. Now you want me to kill him? But Abraham, even in the midst of that hopeless command by God, obeyed God and took Isaac to Mount Moriah and was about to sacrifice his son, and God showed to the entire universe, this is Abraham. He was forgiven of his past sins. He demonstrated faith. He obeyed me because he received the forgiveness. You see, obedience comes not by our own strength. Obedience comes. Obedience comes when we accept the forgiveness of Jesus. Amen. That love awakened love, and that's how we keep the commandments. It's not to earn our way to salvation. It's just a fruit or a demonstration of how we accepted the forgiveness of Jesus. And oftentimes, Seventh-day Adventists, we like to say, oh, we have to keep the Sabbath. Oh, we have to keep the Ten Commandments. No, you need to accept Jesus' forgiveness for our sins. And the result will naturally come. This is the message that was preached in 1888. And needs to be preached again. And sincere as we are, yes, we should keep the law of God, yes. But it's not in our own strength. The key to keeping God's law, it's accepting Jesus and his forgiveness of our sins. You see, what does faith do? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go unto into a place where he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Faith is obeying God at his word. When God's word says, go, regardless of your uncertainty in the future, you go. And God will lead you. We don't like uncertainty. Especially us Asian folk, we want structure. We have a plan for everything. And a plan D and E, F, and Z. I know we're talking to the choir here. But sometimes God says to go into uncertain places. And we just need to trust God at his word. So, that is the key to pass the final exam. Now, when you graduate, you have class colors. And the robes are usually black or dark colors, graduation. You have a cardboard cap that you wear. It's made of cardboard, glorified cardboard, yeah. I remember at La Salle University when I graduated, my cap didn't fit me, so I just tossed it and I just went capless. And my dad started freaking out, thinking that I didn't graduate. But there are colors and robes for this graduation that God gives us for those that pass the final exam. Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. The Bible says this. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. The class colors for the final class of Earth's history and for every other class that graduates from Earth to heaven. White. That's the class colors. And instead of cardboard for caps, we have something else. Notice what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that loved him. Now, in my school, we have a no jewelry rule, Seventh-day Adventist. Amen. And then there's some kids, you know, in graduation practice, they showed up with little earrings and, you know, and rings. And the graduation coordinator did a lecture saying, now, children, this is the last day. Just follow the rules just one last time. You know, in the workplace, you have to follow rules. So don't wear jewelry and everything like that. But at this graduation, you get to wear jewelry. The crown has jewels in it. And so you finally get to wear jewelry. Amen. Bling, bling, that's right. Wow. Lil Wayne will be crying when he sees the crown of life. Depending if he's in or outside the city, let's hope he's in. So that's the caps that God gives us. Now, where is this graduation going to be held? Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Our graduation at St. Evil Academy is going to be at a church, a memorial church. But this graduation is going to be held somewhere very special. Revelation 14, verse 1, the Bible says this, and I look, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and having a 144,000 having the father's name written in their foreheads. In other words, this graduation will be in a place called Mount Zion in heaven, where you enter in, graduate, and celebrate. And so this is the graduation that God has for us. But in this graduation, you know, in graduations, it's kind of emotional. You're happy that you're done with academic work, but you're sad that you're leaving your friends. I'm going to be sad. My mission is not to cry tomorrow. I hope not. Please, no ugly cry. Please, no. But in this graduation, there's no goodbyes. We become neighbors forever. There's no separation. And this graduation, the graduation party, we celebrate at God's own house, his palace. It's very big, with many rooms, mansions. In this graduation, Jesus himself serves us with the tree of the fruit of life. And it's not durian, amen. It's mango. In this graduation, we will be from F-minus students to A-plus students in a blink of an eye. This is the graduation that God is desiring us to experience. And so when we have the episodes of life where we suffer disappointment and failure, know this, that disappointment and failure is to remind us that we cannot go through life in of our own selves. Failure and disappointment is God's reminder that we need God's help in the episodes of life. So if you went through a setback and failure, know this. God is saying, my child, you have an F minus right now. Well, allow me to come in and help you to make you A plus. You see, there's different types of setbacks and failures that bring some final points that we have in our lives. One circumstance is that circumstances beyond our control. We look at Joseph. He was a good kid. He was a good son. He was a favorite son. He didn't do anything bad of himself, but he had some rotten brothers. He had some haters as his brothers. And he sold Joseph to slavery. You know the thing, bad things happen to good people. But again, worse for Joseph, not only was he sold to slavery, but he was falsely accused of a crime that he did not commit, and he was sent to prison. That's pretty bad. But all through the painful episodes of Joseph's life, there was one constant. Every setback, he was remained faithful to God. He relied upon God in everything. In the highs and the lows, he still remained faithful in allowing God to control his life. And so that failure, that foreigner, that's a slave, that's a convicted criminal, became prime minister of the greatest nation on earth. And then there's Moses. Moses was the prince of Egypt. But Moses made a bad choice. He killed a man and he buried the evidence. And from the blink of an eye, from that choice, he became a prince of Egypt to an enemy of the state. And from the palace, he was relegated to the humble tents of Midian herding sheep. What a failure. The palace to a tent, almost like a homeless person, roaming around. But when Moses was humble and he was in his lowest point, he learned something. He learned that God was everything. God is everything and he is nothing. And because he allowed God to work upon him when he was humble and he laid his glory to the dust, Moses, with only a wooden rod in his hand, defeated the greatest military of that era and liberated his people just by God's word. F minus to A plus. And then there is Elijah. Elijah was told and was given ample evidence that God was with him. He called fire down from heaven, and he was called to stand up to the evil queen Jezebel. But what did Elijah do? He choked. He ran away to the wilderness. And he wanted to kill himself. Or he asked God to kill him. He was a failure. He disappointed God. But what did God do? God came to him and said, Elijah, Although you made that bad choice and although you were unfaithful at that time, I'm still with you. Let me restore you. You have a work to do. So come on, you made that mistake. Let me pull you up. Go back into ministry. And Elijah did and fulfilled his prophetic mission. And Elijah had an early entry pass to heaven. And then you have Jesus. Jesus appeared to have failed at the cross. Now let me emphasize this. He appeared. There's a difference. He did not fail. He appeared to have failed when he was killed at the cross. Why? His disciples forsook him and left. He was an enemy of the state. He was relegated as a convicted criminal to die for our sins. But that apparent failure became victory because Jesus took the consequences of every bad sin that we committed so that we could be saved. So if you are going through a setback right now, your setback can lead to ultimate victory. You see, when we review all the sad episodes of our life and painful episodes, it gets overwhelming on this earth. But when we reach this graduation, notice what Ellen White says in Early Writings, page 17, paragraph 2. We tried to call up our greatest trials, but they look so small compared with the far more exceeding the eternal weight of glory that surrounded us that we cannot speak them out. And we all cried out, Alleluia! Heaven is cheap enough. And we touched our glorious harps and made heaven's arches ring. You know, in graduation, what happens at the end? The graduates get their caps and they throw them up in the air. Isn't that correct? Notice what we do in this graduation. Early Writings, page 288. Inspiration says this. Then Jesus looked upon his redeemed saints. Their countenances were radiant with glory. And as he fixed his loving eyes upon them, he said with his rich musical voice, I behold the travail of my soul and am satisfied. This rich glory is yours to enjoy eternally. Your sorrows are ended. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain. I saw the redeemed host bow and cast their glittering crowns at the feet of Jesus. And then as his lovely hand raised them up, they touched their golden harps and filled all heaven with their rich music and songs of the Lamb. In other words, we'll throw our crowns and our caps to the feet of Jesus. This is the graduation that God desires us to experience. Do you know that it's God's will for you to experience this graduation? Notice what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, as I bring my final point. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. I have to make a confession. I made this message last minute yesterday after Christy said that I had a limited time, that I had to keep my message short, so I made a new message. I was going to have another message, but it's okay. This allows me to rely upon God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. This is God's will for our lives. The Bible says this, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this evil present world according to the will of God and our Father. In other words, it is God's will for us to be in heaven and to graduate. That is the will of God for us. So when we pray for the will of God, know this, be careful what you pray for. When we pray for God's will, God will make events and orchestrate events so that you can make it to that graduation. It may not be what we like, but it's what we need. And so it's God's will for our lives to make it to this graduation. It is God's will for us to pass the final exam. It is God's will for our lives to be with him in eternity. It is God's will for our lives to be happy forever in heaven. And if it's God's will, if it's God's word that says it, then it will happen. But it will only happen if we respond by believing God and his promises. Tomorrow, seniors, I will say to them, by the way, some of the things that I'm sharing with you now is part of my commencement address that I'm practicing. And graduation tomorrow, it will feel like a goodbye. But I will tell my seniors, no, it's a see you later. It's a see you later, and see you at graduation. The graduation that matters. And so, brothers and sisters, we are in the school of Christ right now. The trials in our lives are quizzes and chapter exams. The setbacks in our lives reminds us that we need to go to our divine tutor, Jesus, so he can give us the grade that he wants us to have, not that we deserve. God is wanting us to pass, but we are called or asked to ask him. You can only experience it if you can only experience the goodness of God if you ask him. Because God's not going to force it upon us. He wants us to ask him because it's all a choice. So today, as you finish your school year, as you finish your various accomplishments, as you have go through the episode of life, God is wanting you to graduate. Graduate from the school of Christ on earth into the higher education of heaven. And when we go to the higher education of heaven, the grade will automatically be A plus 100%. And we will enjoy learning. It will not be a pain. This world has nothing to offer for us. This world gives you shards of broken dreams morphed into nightmares of broken hearts. God is offering us the reality of paradise forever. The choice is ours. What will you choose today? God is knocking on our hearts and saying, my child, I am preparing for you to pass the final exam. I am preparing you a graduation. I'm preparing you a graduation party for you to spend time with me forever. That's what God desires for you and I to have. Our Father and God in heaven, Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace, and we thank you for allowing us the privilege of passing this final exam. And so, Father, today, may we realize the preciousness of your gift of salvation for us, that you've given broken F-minus students like us a chance of redemption to be 100%. And brothers and sisters, as the heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, is there someone here today who say, Father, today, I want to accept your 100% life in my life. I want to accept your will in my life to pass the final exam and to graduate the school of Christ, to be part of the final class to graduate from this earth so that I could be forever with you in heaven. If that's your desire, I ask you to raise your hand if that's your desire. God sees your hands. Father, I am raising my hand. We thank you, Lord, that you have made all provision for us to graduate in this graduation. We ask that you give us strength and reminders every day to make you first, best, and last in everything that we do so that we can choose you by habit and by love to pass the final exam. This we pray in Jesus' name.